He's a good, good father, isn't he? Amen. Well, we're going to have a special moment here this morning. The population of McDonald County grew at least by one this past week. And I'm going to have Mom and Dad bring baby. Grandma's here. Sally, would you come with them? We're going to have a baby dedication. These are special moments. Sally, what number grandbaby is this? Number 2. All right. Well, let's get a microphone here. Dad, why don't you introduce us to this little princess?
Her name is Isabella Ann Rice.
How much did she weigh? That's mom's department?
6'5".
6 pounds, 5 ounces. How long?
19 and a half inches.
19 and a half inches. What day was she born?
Tuesday at
5. Tuesday at 5 p.m. It wasn't like at 2 or 3 in the morning. Of course, you went in, you said you had her at 5?
Yeah.
You went in at 4, like this was an easy thing, and that was over.
I went in Monday, got to do.
She went in Monday, and what?
6 a.m.
Wasn't until Tuesday, so that was, they were up there for a little while. All right. Well, of course, this is Ashley, and she is Sally's daughter. And they got married. Jeremy Rice asked her to marry him, and she said yes. And you all got married, what, September?
June.
Yeah, June. All right. So here they are, and they wanted to dedicate baby Isabella. What was her middle name?
Ann
Rice. And she is tiny, but so very, very precious. So I'm going to lay this mic down. I've had us ask a number of times about can you baptize our baby? And, you know, there's a lot of different kind of churches out there. And some churches baptize babies. But we don't see that in Scripture. We see water baptism as an outward response of an inward work that a person chooses to do, mainly by commandment of Jesus when he said to the disciples, he said, go into all the world and make disciples, but he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So what we see in the Scriptures is baptism is a, according to Peter, he says it is a response of a clear conscience before God. And you are identifying with Christ, identifying with the body of Christ in baptism. Well, little Isabella is not there yet. The only thing she's concerned about is getting some milk and getting a clean diaper. And so she's not there yet to respond. But one day she will come to an age where somebody will tell her about Jesus. And there's going to be a question rise up by the Holy Spirit in her heart. And he'll say something like this, what are you going to do with Jesus? And Isabel is going to refuse or accept this great gift of eternal life for herself. Now, if something happened to little Isabella, which it's not, but if it did, she would be immediately in the arms of the Savior. And so we have that security already, and that's a good thing. So what are we doing when we baptize a baby like this, as they've asked us to do today? And we are dedicating it, not baptizing it. We are dedicating it. But where does that come from? It comes from the story of 1 Samuel, or the story of Samuel's mother. And her name was Hannah, and Hannah could have no children. But she would go to the temple of the Lord and worship. And one time, here is what it said. As she was there, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. And so this is the basis that we dedicate babies today. But really, the dedication is a dedication of the parents. It was a commitment from the parents. That mother, Hannah, said, Lord, if you will bless me with a son, I will. So this is a commitment of the parents. What commitment did she make? She made a commitment that she would give him to the Lord. So today, by coming forward with little Isabella, this is a commitment on Jeremy and Ashley's part, saying, Lord, I recognize that you have given us this precious child and that we are committing today to raise Isabella to know you, to tell her how much you love her, and to the best of our ability, be that image of Christ before her. Did you know, here, guys, listen. Did you know when we're raising our kids, we can tell them one thing, but if we live differently, they're going to take to heart what you did more than what you said. However, they'll remember what you said. Okay? Some of the most hurtful things can be things that were said, not done, but said. And so, this is a commitment on the parents' part. So, understand that we are not securing in this baby dedication. We're not securing her eternal life. She's not being secured a place in heaven with this. Okay? She is fully loved by God, and there's nothing that she will ever do from this point on to ever change God's love for her. Never. Could never. Never. Hey, I've never said this before, but this is something that I learned recently. I want you to think about this child right here. In contrast to mom and dad, this child, get a hold of this. This child is as close to the image of God as she will ever be right now. Think about that. She's as close, her DNA is as close to her Heavenly Father as she will ever be. Life is going to happen. She's going to have bumps and bruises. There's going to be scars. And how she will react to people, how she will live, will be influenced by those disappointments, frustration, and hurts. But right now, she doesn't have any of that. She's as close to the perfect DNA of her father as she will ever be. You know what? We need to remember, in God's sight, that's the way we look. That's the way we look. Pure, innocent, holy, deeply, passionately loved. Hallelujah. So it's time to make the baby cry. Can I hold her? Look at that. Nanner, nanner. I can hold the baby, ladies. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. You know, it's never God's desire that there be one moment this baby be sick. That's why he took our pains and diseases on himself on the cross. Father, we thank you for this precious, precious child. We recognize that she came from heaven. And Lord, you have blessed this family. You have blessed Jeremy, her daddy, Ashley, her mama, and her grandparents. Lord, you have blessed this world with this innocent life. God, how we can look in her eyes and see the innocence, and reminds us of how you look into our eyes and see our innocence because of Jesus. And God, you're as likely to judge us harshly and punish us as you are this child. It just doesn't make sense that we have a day ahead of us in our future to face punishment, because that punishment was taken fully upon the cross. And now, God, I pray for these parents. I pray for Dad and Mom. Lord, that they too, having made this commitment of raising this baby in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, God, that they too will make a discovery of you the heart of their lives, to know you. And so they can genuinely and accurately give this baby the image of Jesus. Father, I pray that when this child looks into the eyes of her mother, she will have her first glimpse of Jesus. And when she is first aware of the touch of her father's hand, it will be her first experience with the Heavenly Father. God, I thank you for this baby and for this family and your love for them all. Well, Dad and Mom, will you just do that? Having received this precious gift, will you make it an important part of your life to show her Jesus so that she can too fall in love with him, and that you will do the best of your ability to raise her in the Lord, and that the day that question is presented to her by the Holy Spirit, what you're going to do with Jesus, she will very quickly say yes. Amen. Amen. Grandma, you help in every way you can with that? Okay. I had a feeling you would. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. Amen. I'm sure you can understand this. I'd a whole lot rather, as a pastor, do baby dedications than funerals. It's my earthly side of me talking on that. Right? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jack. Amen. Well, I want to apologize to everyone. I did my best to convince the Lord bring that snow down this way, but I don't know what happened. It just, my faith didn't quite meet that. However, I kind of sense that y'all were saying to the Lord at the same time, Lord, would you keep it up there? I forgive you. Very quickly. Amen. So I want to share something today. Oh, by the way, before I get started, so that I can go on spiritual, go Chiefs. Amen. All right. Oh, man. Forgive this fleshly side of me this morning. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 13. This is tying in with last Sunday as well as the Sunday before. And you'll see that as we go along here. But just kind of for what it's worth. Last Sunday was just a real shot in the arm for me. It was a blessing. I just felt the presence of the Lord in such a wonderful way, and God blessed us with his presence. Three things happened, though, that was, doesn't happen every Sunday, but it did last Sunday. And people were being led by the Holy Spirit to give a word of encouragement. There was one sister stood up here and preached like crazy, and man, that was a hallelujah time. And then another sister back here had a word of encouragement. The Holy Spirit led her, and she finished. And another one broke silence, and Holy Spirit spoke through her. Praise the Lord. Now, that just blesses my socks off, guys. That just blesses me when people allow the Holy Spirit to use them. And that kind of freedom doesn't happen everywhere. And while some allow the gifts of the Spirit to be operated in operation in the body at a worship time, there are some that say that it shouldn't be done by a woman. And they use some words that's in 1 Corinthians about a woman should keep silent in the church, which is completely misinterpreted and taught wrong. But I'm working on a message, a teaching, and I've probably put more time into this one than I have one in a long time, but I hope I can get it all in on one Sunday. But this is a significant thing that happened, and it is because of the grace of God. Some are uncomfortable because of their background teaching that women shouldn't be pastors, women shouldn't be preachers, women shouldn't speak in a service like this because women should be silent in the church. Well, their own logic doesn't work out when you examine their thoughts. So I'm putting together a teaching on this to show what position grace has brought women into in the new covenant. So I want to keep you apprised of the fact that that's coming in the next couple of Sundays or so. It's very important. But this is also, that's not separate from what I'm going to share today, but from Matthew chapter 13. Today, I'm not going to go real deep, okay? There's not a lot of depth here, but there's some good truth, and I want to end with praying for any needs that there might be here this morning. But I want to talk about the parables a little bit. Let's go to Matthew 13, verse 10 through 17. And his disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He had just finished a parable that he was talking to the crowd, and it was the parable of the sower. So the disciples didn't quite understand what he was saying in this parable. So they got him aside. Then when they had him by themselves, they asked him, "Why do you speak in parables?" And later he explains what that parable was. But when they asked him, "Why do you speak using parables when you talk to the people?" He said this, "You," talking to the disciples, my followers, "you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not." Okay, here, that is Jesus' first initial response to the question, why do you use parables? Jesus is saying something about the secrets of the kingdom. That is what parables are for. Parables were given because God had sealed up knowledge from men about the kingdom of God. And so when Jesus showed up, he began to reveal the kingdom of God. And he was using stories. He always used these stories so that we could connect with the truths of the kingdom, make sense of it. So he says, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not." So while he is revealing the kingdom, there are some who are going to get it, and then there are some who are not. And so he explains parables, not only that, but also relying on the inspiration, the revelation, and light cast on the parable from the Holy Spirit so that we could get the kingdom principles. This is what parables are for, is he's showing us how the kingdom of God works. So in verse 12, he said, "To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge, but for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." Now, there's a great clarification in that verse, but I'm going to revert back to what you and I grew up on, and let's look at what this verse says in the King James Version. This is what you and I were raised on, and here's how the King James Version says it. "For whoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." Now here's what has tragically happened in our past. is reading the King James. We come reading, and we might go, Lord, throw me a scripture, any meaning, mine more, and we stuck our finger in, and it fell right there, and said, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now, when that verse is taken out, parceled out, and just stuck out there, here's what we have understood that verse to say. Everybody who has a lot of stuff, they're going to get a lot more stuff. And whoever doesn't have much stuff, what stuff he has is going to be taken away. It's a poverty mindset. It's a God taking things away from you, because that is the assumption that has been inferred by teachers, that God is going to take this away from you. What you have is going to be taken away. And therefore, God has put it in a very bad light. And it's all a lie. Friends, I cannot say it enough. Context is king. If you take the text out of context, you're left with a con. We have to see what Jesus was talking about above the verse, what's he saying after it, so that we can get the meaning of the verse. So he's not talking about stuff. He's talking about, what does he say? Verse 11. You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Those who listen to my teaching. So when it says, when the King James says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more. Have what? What is hath? Have what? Knowledge. Knowledge of him. Knowledge of the kingdom. As you're gaining knowledge of the king, you're gaining knowledge of the kingdom. You know what kingdom means? King's domain. Jesus is the king, and heaven came with him. When Jesus said to them, he says, when you see the Son of Man, talking about himself, go around casting out devils by the finger of God, you know that the kingdom of God is among you. Let me tell you what Jesus was saying is, when Jesus was doing the miracles, healing people, casting out devils, the kingdom of God was among them in the king, but not in them yet. Couldn't happen until after the cross, when God would then inhabit the believers. But he was among them. So the king came down, and God began to reveal to the world the kingdom through the king. The problem here is that they didn't believe on the king, so they couldn't accept and couldn't see the principles of the kingdom, how it operates. So, but he still had this commission. Actually, we have possibly misunderstood the Great Commission. We understand the Great Commission to come from Matthew and Mark, where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Actually, the Great Commission was given way back in Solomon's days. It was given a long time ago, and the Great Commission was given to Jesus. The commission, I'd have to follow that back for you on another message, but the Great Commission came from the Father to Jesus, and he commissioned the Son to come down and build the kingdom on the earth. Now, he made that a little bit more obvious in the prophecies of Daniel, in the vision of Nebuchadnezzar, etc. That takes a little background to understand that. But what Jesus said to here in verse 12, he said, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. I want you to go back maybe two Sundays ago when I shared with you that I think it would be well for all of God's people to have a theme of living in the goodness of God. That was last Sunday. But the Sunday before is to make 2019 a real goal to get to know Him. Because he told them in the Old Testament, in Hosea, he said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge of me." And I, if you remember, I shared that the kingdom of God was like a mansion filled with many, many rooms. Jesus actually said that, "In my house are many mansions," okay? And that word mansions, in the English, they use the word, the translators use the word mansions, but the Greek word is rooms. "In my house are many rooms," okay? And I shared with you that revelation comes from God as we, in our Christian life, as we get to know Him. Some don't know the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't realize the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues, what it does. How praying in the Spirit lifts us up. They don't understand that. But it's been largely because they've been taught against it, that it's not for today, when indeed it is. There's many other things. There's this revelation of the things, the kingdom of God and the way God, the kingdom works. But the door to all that revelation is one main revelation. And that is that God has forgiven the whole world of its sin. So in order for Jesus to preach the kingdom, and for people to enter the kingdom and for the kingdom to enter them, he had to take care of the biggest problem, and that is sin. So the first thing he did was come and be the sacrifice for all and remove sin. I love what Brother Wes Weston, though some of you older members here have been here for a long time, remember Brother Wes Weston. And one time he said, "I didn't get this at the time. It was a long time before I came into grace, but it gnawed on me." I never forgot what he said until sometime after 2011, when I realized the grace of God. Then the Holy Spirit said, "That's what I was saying to you from Brother Wes." And it was these words. He said, "God has removed the sin issue." What the conversation was about dealing with those who were bound and oppressed in drugs and alcoholism. And he was very, very much involved in that. He built the church based on those being delivered from those kinds of bondage. That's what his congregation was, is former addicts who used to be addicts. And then there was a bunch of addicts come in, but they wouldn't be there too long before they were known as former addicts because of this one thing. Here's what he said. They have to know. There is no sin issue anymore with God because He has taken that away. I didn't understand that at first, but it was only by coming into the revelation of the grace of God that made sense. And then when I entered that revelation that He no longer is holding people's sins against them, it opened a whole new room to me, and I have to read the Bible all over again because I read it before, preached it before with a veil. What about my sin? What about my sin? What about this? What about that? And God said, "I've taken away from your sin. Now step through the veil and see your inheritance. See the glory that has come in Christ Jesus, Him crucified, raised from the dead, ascended to the Father, and seated on the throne." It changed everything, okay? So what is happening is that Jesus is coming in to say what the kingdom is like, and yet there are those who will not understand the things of the kingdom because they have a veil. And that first veil is they don't believe in Jesus. And then for those who were the disciples, still need the teaching of the kingdom, even though they understood that Jesus is coming. Now, at this point, they didn't realize the death, burial, and resurrection, but they did believe on Jesus so far as they knew. They didn't get the full understanding of this until after the resurrection and the ascension back, and the Holy Spirit was sent. But let's take the days that Jesus was revealing the kingdom of God. There was those who would not believe in Him, so these parables would never make sense. They would never get a hold of it until they believed in Jesus. But here's the disciples. Now they believe in Jesus. More revelation is coming to them. He said, that's why it is given you, what does he say in verse 11? You are permitted to understand the secrets. These that would not believe in him weren't permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom. But those who would believe in him were given. He said, you were permitted to understand the kingdom of heaven. So again, in verse 12, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. There it is. If you listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given to you. But those who don't listen to my teaching, what they do have will be taken away. They will not advance in their understanding and knowledge of the Lord. It says, for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Now let's go to verse 13. That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. Remember what Jesus said, as recorded by John? He said, if you don't believe me for what I say, then believe I am who I say I am by the things that I do. These are the miracles. But Isaiah said that they would not. Verse 15, for the hearts of those people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. They have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes. Are you blessed? Hallelujah. You have 20/20 vision. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Hallelujah. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. And so that's what he says at that point, that all that those prophets, although they spoke about Jesus, God was keeping them from knowing something. And I've preached on that before, but let's move on. Then through the text of this chapter, he gives the parable of the weeds. He gives the parable of the mustard seed. He gives the parable of the leaven. And then in verse 34, the question comes. Jesus, or not a question, but a statement that Matthew makes. After giving those four parables, Jesus, he says this, Jesus always used parables and illustrations, or stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, take note, church. In fact, he never spoke to them without such parables. Anytime Jesus was speaking to the crowd, he always used parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet, I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. Now there's really a division there, a distinction. He said that he was going to speak to them through parables, and to those who would not believe in him would never understand because they're blind and they're deaf. But in this crowd, there are going to be those, in Jesus' crowd as he gave parables, there would be those that would get hold of these kingdom principles and the way that the kingdom works because they believed on Jesus. And it was permitted to them to understand and to understand these principles. So here in this what Luke says, in fact, he never spoke to them without using parables. And then he says at the end of verse 35, I will explain. I will explain things hidden. See that? The parables are explaining things as they are and always have been, but they were hidden in the Old Testament. So, with the coming of the King, God is beginning to explain in Jesus, through Jesus, and through His teaching, the parables, things as they are with God in God's eternal kingdom. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. And then the parable, he gives another couple of parables, and this is what I'm going to end with. It's very simple. Matthew 13, verses 44 and 46. These parables are only one and then two verses long. The first one is called the parable, we know it as the parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven, verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on a lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered the pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. There's been a great misunderstanding in the church world as we looked at that parable, because this is what it has been, this is the way it's been presented. In both of these parables, let's take the first one, but they're both saying the same thing. Kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. What that has been reduced to mean is that a man saw the treasure, the truths of heaven, and he went and sold all that he had. He gave up all that he had. He gave up all he had. And then it says, and he went and bought it. Bought this land with the treasure. We have reduced that to say we give up all of our life so we can buy heaven. Did you know that heaven is a gift and you can't earn it? Did you realize that you have nothing to offer the kingdom of God? But the kingdom of God has everything to offer us. We have mistakenly viewed this great treasure as eternal life. Eternal life is a great treasure, but that's not what he's talking about. The man is Jesus. God is revealing the kingdom. He's not telling us what we are to do. He is revealing the kingdom, things that were hidden from the foundation of the world, and in this parable, that man is God. It is Jesus. Said that when he found this treasure, he came looking for us because he loved us so much. When he found that treasure, he sold all that he had. Who's the one that gave up everything? Jesus. Think about that. He already was seated at the right hand of the Father. He had everything. If Jesus was about himself, he had her made. He was God, eternal. He was secure. He himself was God. But heaven became about something else other than God. Heaven became about us. That song said he didn't want heaven without us. You know what? God desired us. Man, we need to get a hold of that. God has an incredible desire. And a sin consciousness will say this: God is a consuming fire. Better look out, because he will consume you and he will punish you. And no. That's a sin consciousness view of God. When the scripture says that he is a consuming fire, he wants so much to just overwhelm you and take of you. Fire means passion. Do you ever burn with passion? Yeah. If that wasn't the precursor to your marriage, you better like do something with the fire. Passion. Burning with passion. God is a burning fire. He is a consuming fire. And he wants... Oh, man. You want to be real here? Now, we know that our emotions, husbands and wives, we go up and we go down. Do we not? All the husband says, yeah, amen. Okay. But guys, we do the same thing. All right? There are moments in my relationship with my wife. I'm just being real here. That I can put my hand on my hip and say, what's the matter with you? Okay? Thank God those are few and far between. And then there's moments where just, you know, lovey-dovey, all is well in the world. And then there are moments when I have this emotion that I am so passionately, insanely in love with her, I have told her, I wish I could just be inside you because a hug ain't close enough. You know what I mean? That's really the only way that I can describe how getting inside of that other person to experience that intimacy, that closeness. Because a hug and our human existence, our skin, will not allow us to do this. And yet God said, we are one. But I want to experience Mista in here. She wants to experience. There's those moments of that kind of intimacy. Well, let me tell you. God is that consuming fire, and He's a raging fire of passion to us, and He wants to consume you. Whew. No, not to destroy you, but to experience you. And you experience Him. Oh, sin consciousness will say, use that as a condemnation and that he's going to destroy you and he's going to burn you up past existence. No, but a son consciousness will be what I just shared with you. That passion, He wants to consume you, experience you as you experience Him. That's what He was beginning to explain when He talks about this kingdom and the principles of the kingdom of God. He says, in His excitement, whose? The man. Who's the man? Jesus. I'm going to tell you, Jesus gets all kind of crazy, wild, happy about you. He says, in His excitement, He hid it again. When was this hidden? It says, from before time began. And He looked into the future and He saw you. He saw humanity. And He had such a desire for you. He hid it for a while. And then He sold all that He had. And then He gave up everything He had, already seated at the right hand of the Father, and come down here so He could buy us with His blood. Wow. Oh, glory. Verse 45. Again, okay? Here's another example of the same thing that I just said, is what Jesus is saying. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. That merchant is not you looking for a good life. It is not you looking for an eternal life. It is Jesus. It is a merchant looking out for choice pearls. Guess who the choice pearl is? We are. Whew. I don't know. I think too many believers don't realize that's how God sees them, that they are His choice pearl. Ladies, you're His choice pearl. Men, you're His choice pearl. Okay? That doesn't seem too manly, does it, guys? So, He's your choice fishing reel. Yeah. But see that? That's what the revelation that Jesus was bringing to the world was, the kingdom of God. And I'm going to end right there because I think that's a truth that some of us need to get deep-seated in our hearts and our minds. Jack, if you wouldn't mind coming to the music. I want to end this morning with praying for you. And just agreeing with your desire to receive something from God. You know what I see over and over in Jesus' ministry? He would say to people, what do you want? What do you want? Hey, shouldn't Jesus have said, you know, this is what I want? Now, Jesus did communicate his desire. But he said to people over and over, what do you want? I am going to ask you to hear his voice in this question. What do you want? What do you want? I haven't given this opportunity for some time, but I am this morning. Maybe you've kind of grown out of fellowship with God. And sometimes people avoid church because they're thinking that God has something, is holding something against him. They're focusing on their failures and their trip-ups and their shortcomings and think that God is holding something against them because of that, but he's not. Man. He's that consuming fire. He's been a raging passion coming after you. What did that song say? His goodness is chasing after me. Is that what the word said? Running after me. Whew. That's what he's doing. Oh, man. But if you want to just say, Pastor, I find myself on a new journey. It's fresh. It's a fresh journey. I'm recommitting myself. And I just feel like I just need to tell everybody that I'm hearing Jesus and I want to follow him the rest of my days. I want to tell you, for what you know about God and the kingdom now, there's a whole lot more goodness to understand. There's a whole lot more goodness to understand, realize, come into. Some are just standing at the door of this main revelation. Some are just on the other stand. They're just coming through that door of the revelation that God is not angry with them, that he's not holding their sins against them. They're beginning to see. Some are in the first room. Some are over here in this other room. But I'm going to tell you, there's no end to the rooms. The rooms are endless. We will never fully discover the goodness of God in this human existence. I believe that with all my heart. But I can tell you, traditionally for Cecil Hall, it's a whole lot better than he used to believe. And if I have God, and it's true that what Jesus said for Cecil has been true. What little he did know, if I believe in him, if I believe his teaching, then he's going to give me abundance of understanding. I'm going to tell you, I've grown so much since 2011. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whew. The goodness of God. Live in the goodness of God. We do that by coming to a knowledge of him, knowing who he is. Hallelujah. Mister, would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not embarrassing anyone. That's not a command. But if you just want to come forward, we'll pray for you and say, Pastor, I'm making a new commitment. I'm starting out on a fresh journey. I don't mean to be crass with this here, okay? If you fall out under the power, I want to be at the Holy Ghost, not my breath, okay? You say, Pastor, I'm starting on a new journey. Pray for me. That's what we're going to do. So if that's you, come right on, right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. We glorify your name, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, just love on Jesus. Just let's be thankful. How do you love on Jesus? You just tell him how thankful you are. Thank him. Just thank him. That's what loving on Jesus is. Just telling him thank you. Hallelujah. I praise your name, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you that my sins are forgiven. Thank you that I am forever forgiven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.